girl is wrapped in line with a hall monitor, the big garden mall, to obey the rules in your head of the time. When it turns you to little radios, and the breathing should sound well. Pretty eyes and ears of the Santa Cruz police, protect and serve themselves. It seems that my hosts have been pretty damn inhospitable, especially since this street is home to me. They come into my house and order me around with no badge and no authority. The hospitality patrol here to make sure you enjoy your stay. The hospitality patrol, if you got the cash, you better go away. They're here to make sure your shopping is enjoyable and keep those dirty street people in line. The hall monitors, the big garden mall, will obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Well, though you just may be passing through, remember what I say to you in your hometown. Yes, everywhere with money to spend, they are there. Look around and sure you'll see the gentrified reality. Just spend your money day by day, the hosts are here to guide away. Yeah, hospitality patrol here to make sure you wear a smile. Yeah, there's a hospitality patrol, and spend your money for a while. If you make sure your shopping experience is enjoyable and keep us dirty street people in line. The eyes and ears of the Santa Cruz police, obey the rules and you'll have a good time. Just obey the rules and you'll have a good time. You know we're out here fighting crime.
That was the infamous Hospitality Nazis by none other than my special guest, Phil Free. Hi, Phil.
I feel so special, Robert.
You are special, Phil. The police department takes a particular interest in your activities on the mall.
And that makes me feel even more special, for the goddess knows I've earned it.
And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the belated Bathrobes Piers broadsides. We're starting 25 minutes late, or actually 20 minutes late, yeah. Due to, overwhelming popular demand for the previous two show host shows, no, not hosts, they're guest hosts, no?
It's a new show.
It's a new show, that's it.
It's the first show.
It's the first show, and they're there, and we're here, and they took over some of my airtime, man.
Robert was late. Don't buy that shit. He came stumbling in here late.
Slandered again, just because I had a quesadilla at
unpolitically correct
Taco Bell. Well, by the way, talking about Taco Bell, for all of you folks who want to be on the air but have not yet taken that big step, I am interested in putting you on the air, particularly if you have issues about civil rights on the streets, our life out in the open, or things of that sort, civil rights for the poor, I'm interested in having you on the air, and I show up at Taco Bell on Pacific Avenue, 9:45 every Monday and Friday, which is when the show happens, and the show will be going on from 10 to 1 today. So you can call in, you can show up at Taco Bell on Monday, you can call me at my home phone at 423-HUFF. HUFF stands for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and the numbers are 423-4833. Or you can call at the station. That's even better. Then everybody can hear you. And the station number here, as many of you may know, and some of you may not, is 427-3772. 427-FRSC, 427-FREE-RADIO-SANTA-CRUZ. We're going to be having lots of stuff. I can sort of slow down and kind of relax here this next 3 hours or 2.5 hours. We have, of course, the mystery, surprise guest, Phil Free, who has beaten one of his Disturbing the Peace tickets in court, which he will be discussing with us. We also are going to be having interviews with the San Jose Community Homeless Alliance, which has conducted a 50-plus day sleep out over in San Jose. And as a special tribute and follow-up to Candlelight Kim Argula's Wednesday Polygamy Show, which some of you may have caught. Kim,
that's a good show.
Good show. It was a good show.
I've listened to it up on the mountain. It was a good show.
Well, we're gonna. We've did some interviews on the street about polygamy and.
Were they talking about polygamy or open relationships? I think that's kind of different.
Well, I think you're right. Actually, polygamy, and I use the phrase somewhat differently than most do, but polygamy is customarily means a one man having many wives. It's sort of compared to.
Yeah, I was trying to picture Kim with two husbands. It was just kind of hard.
Kim, you heard of her new movie, Kim Argula and Her Two Husbands. Sort of like. Follow up to Donna Floor and her two husbands, but well, I think you're right. I think it was open relationships, but it has something to do with non-monogamy sexual relationships and emotional commitments.
I can talk about that too.
And I want you to talk about that. Yeah. And it's not immediately related to civil rights among the poor, but I mean, hey, even poor people have a sex life.
Well, it is. I mean, my personal view on it is our views on sexuality that we've come down to. From what they tell us naturally in this society, have been dictated to us by a Christian-imposed value system that was imposed upon the people by murder and genocide. And I have strong feelings about that, as you can see. I never use the word for myself non-monogamous. I am anti-monogamous. I do not believe it is a functional system that can work. I believe it was imposed on us, and we were kept in it by fear and guilt. By like a lot of things that Christianity brought to it.
That's, I think, similar to those who don't call themselves atheists, but rather they call themselves antitheists, that is to say, or anti-theists, those who are opposed to the delusion that there is an all-powerful daddy watching over us all, or mommy, for that matter. But, hey, that's another subject for another show, if it is a subject for a show at all. I don't religion among the poor, well, who knows.
Ah.
But, also coming up, just to kind of give you a summary, and also a look forward, in case you want to catch a meeting at 11:30, the Above the Line Community Consortium, there's a mouthful, is meeting today at the Civic Center Auditorium ABC Room, which is right across from City Hall. I believe it's on Center and kitty corner from the library, if you know where the main library is downtown. And they are having this is the first big meeting they've had in about 3 or 4 months. This is a group that's drawn together merchants, social service providers, and the odd, and I mean odd, homeless activist like myself. And I believe Lighthouse Linda LeMaster will be holding down the fort there, trying to make sure that civil rights are respected. And essentially, it's a large fundraising operation to try to get a youth shelter going for the winter. There is no youth shelter, and the county apparently is giving crazy quilt Kimberly Carter, as I call her, the woman who's kind of drawing all this together, lots of trouble. They've got the money, that is to say, Kimberly has the money to do it. She's gone around to different stores, gotten a video going, huge fundraising effort, big donations. Now they have to get it past county planning, and the county wants to take its pound of flesh, and it's 2 years to do it. So that's going to be discussed. Youth shelter. I guess they also funded the Interfaith Satellite Shelter's open air shelter program during this last summer. That's what the Above the Line Community Consortium helped to do. As you may know, we've been talking about on the air, Above the Line, the open air shelter is due to be bulldozed by our old friends, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, or the Citizens Committee to Exploit the Homeless, as some have unkindly called it. In December, they're going to start grading and bulldozing so they can put in modular trailers that they got from Stanford University for 40 or 50 people. This will displace 200-plus people, and it will cost money, like low-income rent, to get into these trailers anyway. So it's a significant cutback in the resources available to poor people and an elimination of the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz. This will, to specify the timeline, it won't have its major impact until April, which is when the winter shelter, the armory winter shelter closes. The armory shelter is going to open November 1st on a weather contingent basis, after which I think December 15th it opens every night. And the armory usually has enough room for a lot of people, although there are people who cannot use the armory shelter because they're drinkers, they're drug abusers. So you might say, well, we're allowing a public place for drug abusers. Well, hey, there are alcoholics in our community and there are drug abusers in our community. And the same motivation that says needle exchange makes sense tells you you want to have a place for people to be away from the elements and away from trouble. And if they abuse drugs, then they take that risk. That's their problem. I'm not saying it's certainly it's not a police-free zone in any way. But
Can I ask something that I always wonder when this subject comes up? If the people are drug abusers, we tend to look down on that, and that's kind of like what you were fielding there was like, oh, they're going to make a place for drug abusers, and you kind of had to preface it. You know, you have to field that question, because the first thing people think is, oh, those, you can't have people abusing drugs in a public place. The question I always wanted to ask when we have drunks and drug addicts on the street and people are coming down on them is, has anybody ever asked the question why somebody needs to do drugs, why somebody needs to drink themselves until they're hooked to the substance, or why they have to be on a drug until they get hooked to it and waste their lives away? You know, we tend to look at these people like they're lower life forms or something, rather than they're human beings, and for some reason in their life, they needed something to get them through and got hung up on it somewhere along the line.
It's true, and I react far too defensively to that idea, even within my own mind, when no one is, criticizing that group of people. And the fact of the matter is that there is going to be a percentage of people in any population who will abuse drugs for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And the major drug abusers live in houses. You know, and the major buyers and sellers of crack and other illegal drugs that are addictive live in houses. And mostly they're upper middle class people. I don't know, mostly that's true. I can't necessarily verify that. But certainly a lot of them are white upper middle class. So the people who go to jail, of course, are black.
Yeah, and so there's... We tend to look at those people like there's something wrong with them. And, you know, what is wrong with them? Is it the fact that they use drugs? Or perhaps the reason that they use drugs is the thing that's wrong with them? And, you know, that's what we need to look at with people. You know, we need to find the reasons why somebody would be in so much pain that they'd have to have a crutch to get by.
Plus, the realities of living outdoors tend to make you want to warm up when the weather gets cold. A traditional use of alcohol, even medicinally. You know, so anyway, but the point is, this meeting is happening at 11:30 today, Above the Line Community Consortium at the ABC room of the, I get lost too,
I forgot what we were talking about.
Right. of the Civic Auditorium, and this is a rare, kind of a rare meeting. It happens every 4 months. So if you want to go and take a gander at the social service providers and the merchants and some homeless activists who are trying to have input, and actually to her credit, I would like to say that Kimberly Carter has gone out of her way to include activists that merchants and social service providers might otherwise not want to have nothing to do with, like myself. Mm-hmm. The question is whether I should have anything to do with them, as my associates have suggested to me, is another question, too. But anyway, that's happening at 11:30, goes on until 12:15. Kimberly Carter promises a very boring meeting, so you might bring along some guitars or something to spice
it up. Are you biased in this issue, right?
I buy ass whenever I can.
No.
Oh. Let's leave that one alone. Very horrible. So we got you here in the studio, Phil. I did an interview, as I mentioned to you earlier, with Manx Clothing Store, which is the second store that filed a disturbing the peace and the police.
You said it right.
Disturbing the police complaint against you on the mall. This is, of course, a notorious tactic and tool by those opposed to political activity by poor and activist people on the mall are concerned with civil rights issues. I mean, we recall back in, well, disturbing the peace was a charge used against Jay Green, who headed the post office homeless table in 1989, 1990, which was there for 8.5 months protesting the Santa Cruz Police Department's routine policy of seizing bedding and blankets in the dead of winter, of arresting people for sleeping outside, even though there was no legal place to sleep, which they are still doing, by the way, though there now is this momentary legal place to sleep, the of open-air shelter. Disturbing the peace was used again in February of 1994 to pile a whole bunch of charges on a man called BD, who saw the police destroying a peaceful homeless vigil, the vigil by Wonton Dave Jacobs and Red Top Robert Flory, in front of what is now the Cine 9 Theater, but which was then a large kind of storm fence. He went across the street, BD did, and went and spoke to people at the George Ennis Cafe, telling them that the police were acting to brutalize people, even in front of their eyes, at which point he was physically attacked by ID manager Stuart Martin. And Martin then turned around and filed a complaint of assault.
Vigilante, store owner, yes.
Assault on him and disturbing the peace. And Martin subsequently filed disturbing the peace complaints against numerous other people, including me. Mm-hmm. I was taken and held in jail. Charges were dropped. Chris Brazda, I believe, may have been victimized by that, too. There's been a number of times when disturbing the peace has been used by the merchants. And I am presently planning, I have not yet done this, a complaint to the Citizens Police Review Board, not just about what happened here with you, Phil, but about the whole idea that the police will come to a merchant complaint and file it without hesitation, mm-hmm. although that's not entirely true. Stuart Martin, in his closing days, tried to file complaint after complaint, and the police finally began to blow him off, so to speak.
Yes.
but in your case, when the merchants from Manx and the merchant Ali of Alibaba's kiosk sought to have you arrested, that is to say, stopped and given a misdemeanor citation punishable by up to 6 months in jail for essentially playing unpopular loud songs within the performance.
Unpopular to who?
Unpopular to who, and loud as far as who is concerned, compared with what boombox, compared with what...
Some people call that loud, some people call that projection. Some people say, hey, you're too loud, some people say, hey, you project really well.
So there is a difference of opinion, certainly, on this, and there is a set of guidelines called the Street Performers Guidelines, which has been agreed to in Santa Cruz for the last decade and a half, which, among other things, states that if a merchant or somebody else doesn't like a particular act, whether it be musical or otherwise, playing at a particular place, they simply tell that act, and after an hour, there's a sort of a peer agreement. It's not a legally binding agreement, but it's one that's generally been adhered to if the parties approach each other civilly and courteously, that they'll move on to another spot, at least after an hour's worth of playing. You tolerate whatever act you don't like for an hour, because we're living in a public area here, a public space. This is not your living room. This is not your grandmother's house. This is not your private ranch. This is downtown Santa Cruz, where a lot of people gather, and we have that strength in Santa Cruz that a lot of people do gather here. So, disturbing the peace, tickets against you. I was around not quite when both tickets were issued, but certainly soon thereafter. One by Alibaba and one by Manx store, which is I guess it's a clothing store right across from the Coffee Roasting Company.
Coffee Roasting Company, one of the more popular places for every street musician in Santa Cruz to play, because the people are relatively liberal on that part of town, oddly enough. And there's a coffee thing there, and as far as making money, got the phone ringing, as far as making money, it's one of the better places. You know, if you make a living on the street playing music, that's one of the preferred spots. And I am the only street musician, to my knowledge, to be harassed for playing on that spot. There's people there all day long.
You're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
No, take me off.
Uh-oh.
All right, I'll keep talking for a minute. Don't turn the mic down. Okay. Disturbing the peace is one of those catch-all things that they can use. I tend to have been kind of a student of law enforcement practices for quite a while, and I've kind of delved a little in-depthly and done a lot of research on it. It's worked out really well in my current line of employment. That comes in really handy. I'm trying not to be distracted because Robert's talking to my other ear, so I'm plugging that ear. Okay,
he's off the phone now. Anyways, disturbing the peace is one of those catch-all things that cops use when all else fails. And a cop taught me a long time ago at a time when he thought I was sympathetic to his cause. He told me, a cop can arrest anyone for anything, anytime they want. Anytime a cop finds somebody that they want to fuck with, and this is what the cop told me, by the way, fuck with, they can find a way, they can find a reason to take you to jail. There's too many laws. There's too many regulations. If they sit down and sift through their books long enough, they'll find a loophole to take you in for. And they don't have to justify it. That's the real problem that I have, or one of the main problems I have with our justice system, is they don't have to justify it. They can hold you for 72 hours for pretty much nothing. In my case, they didn't take away my freedom in that way. However, in each case, I was stopped from playing in that particular spot for the day, told I would be arrested. My livelihood was affected by both of these complaints. One of them, I was stopped playing for the day. I couldn't go. I was also told not to frequent that area or I'd be facing further charges. I was also told to stay away from Alibaba and not speak to him. The officers told me that specifically. And they can't bind me to that, but they told me that specifically, so the problem couldn't be resolved. These officers did not want the problem resolved. As much as I would like to vilify the entire Santa Cruz Police Department, since those two officers have been rotated from the mall, I've dealt with other officers in those same spots, in those same situations, with those same complainants, and had different treatment. And I think what we're dealing with here is two bad cops, and you know your names.
Well, why don't you say their names, Phil?
I don't have them with me right now because The guy scribbled it on the fucking ticket. But I got it on the police report at home. But two bad cops, and there is a lot of people out there that do know who they are because we've discussed this. Two cops serving a personal agenda. I mentioned this last time I was on your show, and I think it's really significant that when I received my first ticket, and my first ticket I received at the Tom Scribner statue, statue of a street musician, an activist in this town.
A man who played the saw, a member of the Communist Party, and then of the Industrial Workers.
The Industrial Workers of the World. First, a member of my union. My union, where I'm playing, my union has employed me as a bard. And I'm not going to go, I don't have time to go into all the implications that
your
a bard,
union is the IWW.
My union is the IWW, and also religiously I've been brought up in a druidic tradition as a bard. You can all look that stuff up and see what that means for yourself, because it's much, much too long to explain.
Is it hard being a bard?
It's hard being a bard, but traditionally, since the Middle Ages, since the first harp was developed, bards play in public places and expose tyranny. They immortalize the good deeds and the bad deeds of those they come in contact with, and they sing them in public place. It was a way that news used to travel from person to person. It's a very old tradition, and I'm carrying it on in a very 90s way, but I'm being fucked with by fascists.
Indeed. A couple of comments about that. First of all, your complaint about discriminatory treatment by the police department in terms of them being able to find a law for whatever they want, that really is, a more than the downtown ordinances, an important major focus for those of us concerned with the fundamental change in how people are treated downtown, particularly poor people, by the police department, because, and by the city, and by the merchants, by the community generally. Because even before the downtown ordinances, which, for those of you who don't know, are the anti-homeless or anti-poor laws passed by the Kennedy City Council last year in 1994, don't panhandle after dark or face a year in jail on the second offense, or 6 months in jail, it's a misdemeanor. Don't sit down on the sidewalk within 10 feet of a shop, or you face an infraction and an automatic misdemeanor on the second offense. Don't set up a table after dark, even a free speech table, anywhere, because it will be construed as an obstruction and removed, as happened to Robert Flory and Dave Jacobs on July 5th, 1994, when they had a 4th of July table set up, of all things. Anyway, these are the anti-homeless, anti-poor laws, but even before these existed, and, well, no doubt after they go, there is going to be, unless we find some counterforce or some counter-program of legislation or some countervailing way of dealing with this, a policy which allows the police to selectively enforce laws. What we need really is a bill of rights for poor people on the streets. Some kind of a ombuds panel, that is a Swedish term meaning to assist in the defense of a kind of, it's a, an ombuds person is a person who represents a poor person or another person, a support of that person, often an official position. So for instance, a lot of people are arrested for sitting down on the sidewalk in the years before Dave Jacobs, among others, even though there was no law that said you couldn't sit on the sidewalk. Instead, they pulled out a law called obstructing the sidewalk, which was falsely used, because obstructing means, you know, blocking more than a third of the passageway, and people sitting were always quite careful not to do that. But to have to go through the court process, as Phil found out, he called us all up. We showed up in court a couple of days ago. I told other people, announced it on the show, and of course, he comes into court on this first Ali ticket, and what does
he
find?
With my lawyer, you know, after obtaining legal counsel, after having my livelihood severely affected, on several occasions, and you know, through this case, you know, I couldn't play near Alibaba's. Even within a block, I had problems, even if I played across the street from Alibaba's, until this case was cleared up. So anyways, I got to court, this is very significant. The charges were dropped before I reached arraignment. The charges were not filed. The charges were so frivolous that even our DA, not a very liberal person or somebody. Trump had Art Danner. Even Art Danner wouldn't file on it. It was so ridiculous. And these cops know that. Every cop on this force knows that. These cops have been working the mall know that. These are two cops that said, let's try something a little different. You know, about a year ago, we had the same type of thing going on with Skidmark Bob on the mall. Much more aggro and dare I say, offensive than I could ever hope to be. I try to be a little subtle.
That one, Skidmark.
Yeah. See, Gay's out of town. He can't hear me talking shit about him. Anyways, when they first came for Skidmark Bob, they did the same thing. We got a couple overzealous, over-creative cops that tried to bend the law their way. And the way they went about Bob's was really weird. You know, they didn't give him a ticket. They didn't give him anything. He heard through the grapevine that legal action was pending, that Stuart Martin had filed a complaint for playing in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, and he was picked up. He went into the DA's office. They said everything was okay, and they were reviewing the case, and that they'd call him and let him know about his court case. Well, they didn't call him. Next time he played on the mall, next time he was playing police state. Across the street from the informant center, they came and hauled him away and left me standing there with his guitar and my guitar in my hands, and they hauled him and put him in jail. They kept his guitar in jail for more days. And these cops back then, this is another case of them trying to get creative and do something that they feel they should be allowed to do, even though the law doesn't justify it. If they have to manipulate the law, then they're breaking it, in my opinion. And the thing that this cop went for was terrorist threats. Unheard of. He didn't even try the disturbing the peace. He went for terrorist threats. Then the DA looked at it and said, oh, that's frivolous. We can't, you know, even the DA wouldn't go for
terrorist threats. A felony charge.
Totally. It's a felony charge for playing your guitar.
Skidmark Bob was singing a song which Stuart Martin claimed he was saying things like burn down the bookshop.
Yes, he was singing about shoplifting at his store. That's what pissed him off. Come on, let's face it. We know the song. Well, we play it on the radio all the time. But here you see how these people go about it. You get one guy, oh, we can't do anything about this guy. Well, I can do something about this guy. I'll get creative. I'll find a way. I'll find a loophole. I'll manipulate something because I don't like his songs. And the cop that gave you my ticket in front of the Tom Scribner statue, here's how the conversation went. Hi, my name's Phil, right? Phil Free, right? Hey, you sing that song on Free Radio, don't you? What song, I ask? Well, the one about the Nazis, he says. Which Nazis, I say? You must narrow that down. That covers a lot of my material, I say. He says, the one about the hosts. I say, oh, the hospitality Nazis? You know, the song we heard at the open of the show? He said, yeah, I really like that song. These are people with a personal agenda. When the guy went after, when the cop went after Skidmark Bomb, his police report was riddled with personal biases, with personal accounts of hearing Bob's, quote, anti-authoritarian, anti-police lyrics. These people have no place to have an opinion. They're not supposed to have an opinion. They're supposed to be impartial. They're not supposed to manipulate the law because they want something to happen. They're not supposed to go out of their way to stop somebody from saying things against them.
But they do.
They do.
And the question is now, what can we do to prevent that? And I guess the answer I have for that is a manifold. I mean, I've been looking for an answer for years. There is no answer other than the one we create. You have a Citizens Police Review Board, which could conceivably be turned into a tool for people to use to block this kind of abusive behavior. It has, on some occasions, been effectively used in Berkeley to stop, for example, the harassment of people sitting on milk crates asking for spare change. That's a story which I may have passed on to you and will pass on to you at some future point. As I mentioned earlier in the show, didn't quite complete this thought. I'm going to file a police complaint, a complaint against the police department for the kind of ticket Phil got based upon my concern that the police are using one standard for giving tickets to people on the street when a merchant complains and another standard for when people on the street complain. In other words, I would like to have the guidelines for issuing such tickets clarified and made very specific. I mentioned to you on the show that I talked to Officer Black once at the police department. He informed me that there are different, supposedly, fairly clear guidelines. You know, is the victim personally involved, so it looks like some kind of vendetta? Did the officer witness the crime? Or if the officer didn't, is the witness there ready to testify that the crime happened? Was the crime reported within a short period of time so that it's not a case of somebody getting a charge 2 or 3 days later?
Exactly.
I mean, I know that when I've attempted to make citizens' arrests, police have never allowed me to make a citizens' arrest.
Exactly, and they are required. The laws the wording for citizens' arrest is an officer has committed a felony. I believe it's a felony. If somebody has made a citizen's arrest that the officer has probable cause to believe is legal, and that officer does not take that person into custody, then he has committed a crime. He or she has committed a crime. But people don't know that, and people need to know to file the proper complaints.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I don't know if that's true, Phil. I'd like to see that law because I suspect it's a more subjective criterion, or perhaps the police feel they can just go ahead and with impunity do what they want anyway.
They may have guidelines, but the penal code section, that's the way it's laid out. I don't know how Santa Cruz's personal policy goes.
Right, because I know that, as I mentioned to you, in some cases the police have refused to even, for example, take complaints from Stuart Martin. And the police officer, as my understanding of it is, and it differs from yours, I'm not sure who's correct here, is that the police officer has an obligation to file a report, but he does not have an obligation to write a citation. He makes that judgment himself as to what he wants to do.
Exactly. I've got into that with Sergeant Crane too many times, and too many cops on the mall saying, I enforce the law 100% without question. That's bullshit. Cops are given a lot of leeway. They're not required to enforce a whole lot of things. They do so because they want to, for whatever reason.
Well, you have another court case coming up, Phil. The case at Manx, that is to say, you were playing your guitar at Manx, and We did some taped stuff on this a couple shows back where we played the tape of your ticketing when the police came by and arrested and ticketed you.
I never heard that.
You didn't?
I never heard that, no.
No, we'll have to get you a copy of that.
Yes, it would be good for my court case if it goes that far.
Right. We played it on the air, and what it boiled down to was that the hosts had come by and told you to... you know, you'd check your both watches together, and you had an hour to go. And then about 15 or 20 minutes later, along came two cops right out of Manx and said, which was across the street, this little clothing store, and said that they were going to give you a ticket. And at the time I said, oh, well, you know, that the cops are just doing their job. But I realized later, and I'm saying to you today, that they aren't just doing their job, because it seems to me the police have a discretionary power here. And if they're choosing to exercise it, and these are the same two cops that did, I really encourage you to get these guys' names and definitely call me at the next show. We can keep our eyes on these officers. They may not just be harassing you. They may be harassing other people as well.
Example, same exact situation, same store. A couple weeks later, I went there thinking the store would be closed by then, but it was only 4:30. I thought it was 5. And so I played, you know, the people couldn't deal with me for half an hour until they got off work. They had to, you know, there's a lot of these people have a real attitude that they are some higher class, and the people on the street are some lower class that can just be dealt with by calling 911. Well, that's bullshit. It's not going to work that way in this country. We have radios now. Soon we'll have TVs. That's one of the biggest things I see happening in this world is entire classes of people trying to shove entire classes of people under the carpet and forget about them. And the biggest protests and the biggest fighting the system that we have going on in this country is just existing. Just our existence. Food Not Bombs is a classic example. It's not so much that Food Not Bombs serves poor people, it's that they serve poor people out in the open. And the powers that be don't want poor people out in the open, because then they won't be able to say that there's less homeless people. But they will be able to say there's less homeless people when they shove them out of view and the rich people don't see them anymore.
True enough. So when is your court date for Manx coming up here, Phil?
That's the 17th.
October 17th.
We'll be going for that one. Oh, like I was saying, same exact situation. RoboCop and the new mall cop. I met him and we shook hands and said we'd be working together.
Officer Perry, black officer.
That's Robo. Yeah, RoboCop. But the other guy, the new guy.
Officer Pruger.
Pruger, yes, that's him. We met him. Very nice guy. Same situation.
He wasn't very nice 8 years ago, but maybe he's changed.
Yeah, well, I was being sarcastic. I mean, you know, nice enough for a badge-wearing fascist. But anyways, the same situation at Manx. Probably the same complainant, I don't know. But the only difference was two different cops, and they didn't handle it that way. So I think it is a judgment call, and we had a discussion about that particular issue. Of course, we kept saying RoboCop kept saying off the record, so I can't use it legally, but we talked about judgment calls, and he even mentioned that, you know, could it be possible that you've offended those particular officers, Phil?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you know, if I haven't, I'm not working hard enough.
There you go. Well, I understand that after your Tuesday court victory, and by the way, it will be next Tuesday at what, 8:15 in whose court?
8:30
in whose court?
I'm not sure yet.
So you have to go to the information desk at the county courthouse if you want to be there for Phil next Tuesday at 8:30.
Yes. Look for Phil something.
And maybe, in fact, Phil...
A name similar to this kind of...
Philip Frenelli, is that
Frenelli.
The... Frenelli. Sorry, Philip. Now we've blown your cause. You're a frantic kind of guy.
Yeah.
It may be that the case will be dropped before it even reaches the court. Maybe if it is, you could let us here at Free Radio Santa Cruz know about that.
That's true. Well, and I want to know now, what happens? What happens with that? In your interview with Alibaba, during that whole incident, he estimates that he lost $30. I can make that estimate, too. I have regular customers that regularly throw in regular amounts and want to hear the same song every time and request the same song and pay me the same amount to hear that song every time. And I can estimate that four of those people walked by. I think I lost $40 that day. I can estimate just like Alibaba can estimate. And I lost some money that day, too. And if I had lost the case, I'm sure I'd be paying restitution for everything that Alibaba lost. You know, when these people stop a person
from their livelihood?
Yeah, from seeing their livelihood, their pursuit of happiness, if you will, and then it's found to be not justified, who does anything about it? Do I have to go and file complaints or something? Should we have to do that?
Well, obviously,
shouldn't these people
not
be answerable to this? Shouldn't, you know, when they fuck up, they should just have to pay, just like anybody else.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was a mediator, Kim Hallinan, who sort of stepped into the...
They had a wonderful job.
...into the breach. She tried, actually, for several hours. I saw her talking to her about it.
I did. I also heard her accuse you of trying to sabotage the mediation process by the step-up in protest. Is it like, you're behind it all, Robert?
Well, actually, what she said was... She had heard that yes, I am the Fuhrer here. She said that she had heard from merchants that their concern was that I was sabotaging the mediation process and not telling the truth about certain issues. So I cleared up those issues, at least from my point of view, gave her my perspective on that. But she has attempted to mediate things, and I think now is the time for Alibaba to perhaps, and street musicians generally, and you in particular, to be able to come to an understanding and treat each other with you know, the kind of mutual respect that I think we really need downtown on the mall. I mean, I think that you know, you have a certain potential weapon. You could sue him for damages. You could sue him for false arrest.
Even worse, I could write a song about him.
And you could write a song about him. You know, so I mean, the point is, I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of those things, but it might be better. I'm touting the mediation process because I've seen it work at least in a couple of cases. Now, if have you been back to play near Ollie's place?
Not yet.
Well, we'll wait for it. We'll wait that particular song with some interest. Again, not with the idea of taunting Ali, but I'd like to see that the streets are generally open, and I'd like to see that Ali... has Ali been informed that you won your case?
No, I could have gone and rubbed it in his face, but that's not the issue here, and I probably could justifiably, because he took a very staunch, very classist, very upper-class, lower-class opinion and threw me into a whole category of people that should be looked down upon justifiably in his own way of speaking. And I, up until that point, I held nothing personal about this with him. But he refuses to talk to me. The cops made it impossible to talk to me. They gave me an order not to, you know, to stay away from him, or they would file more charges for me harassing him over
maybe
the case.
Maybe the time is now here that we can in fact find another way. I will perhaps if you can get back to Kim, the mediator, she can again approach Ali and say, look, you know, you lost your court case. Now let's talk about mutually what ways of all living together downtown.
You know? That'd be great. You know, the whole cop thing is basically to keep us separated and keep us seeking this enemy outside that they're going to go and take care of for us. And, you know, these cops worked very hard to make sure that there was no contact between me and Ali, that it would just be, you know, that we couldn't work it out ourselves. We would have to have them work it out for us. And, the thing on the mediation that I wanted to throw in is, you know, it sounds to me like we're seeking a ceasefire here. Like, she's expecting some sort of ceasefire in the protests on the mall. Homeless people are arrested every day. Homeless people are ticketed every day, and they're harassed all day long, me including. And when it's not me, I'm standing there playing a guitar, watching it happen all around me. If you stand in a place for an hour at a time, you'll see a lot of shit going on. Especially if you stand there, look like you're doing something else and not paying attention. They'll just harass people right in front of you. So what I want to say is, where's this ceasefire? Are we supposed to ceasefire? Are we supposed to stop protesting and then the fascists will stop their fascism? What?
No.
Do you want?
I've never agreed to stop protesting. What I have suggested is that protests will be reduced if real issues are dealt with. Uh-huh. And, of course, that's my hope, that a mediation process rather than a set of downtown ordinances would be one positive step towards a real dealing with issues in terms of people-to-people interaction, in terms of problems that both sides face, not simply the merchants, what I regard as a rather paranoid perception that panhandlers and deadheads are responsible for their business difficulties when you have, you know, Crown Books and Blockbuster and Rittenhouse and the folks out at the boardwalk, you know, and Canfield to really, you know, look for the real, the villains in this piece, the real people who have the power, the real people who are making the decisions, and also the real economic conditions that we're stuck in here. I'm rewinding a tape right now, trying to get you some highlights from different events that have happened in the last week, and I'm going to have to fumble around a bit find it.
Has anything happened
in the last week?
No, I mean with the mediation. Is you said that we'd step down
the protests if anything happened. You know, has
I didn't say that. I've never said I would step down.
No, it was a suggestion. They might say that you have control.
No, I mean, I'm saying that if real things begin to happen, people may find other channels more effective than protests.
Well, here's one. Try treating human beings like human beings rather than some problem that has to be dealt with. You know, these stores can conspire and get together and support these ordinances and do all these things. And when 20 panhandlers show up out front of their store and panhandle all the money from their customers before they go in, how are you going to feel then? You know, the business people are getting together in this town, and I'm sure there's some exceptions that don't follow the flow of the stream, but there's quite a few getting together, organizing on how to deal with this homeless problem, how to crush the homeless problem. The original targeting of Skidmark Bob came from a downtown business association meeting. I was supposed to be the subject of a downtown business association meeting about a month before I got my tickets. I can only think that that's where my stepped up harassment came from, was as a result from those meetings. That's what happens in these meetings, is they get together and discuss how they're going to fuck with us. I don't know what else they discuss. It seems to be the discussion every time.
Well, again, it's something I'm waiting to see now that the courts have essentially kicked out this charge, and if Ali will agree to a mediation. I was trying to propose something similar to Manx, and I got a positive response from one of the employees, although I don't think the owner or the manager who overheard our conversation and then became rather nasty to us would necessarily be as favorable. But again, I think one has to approach again and again. You're dealing with people who are paranoid. Merchants are paranoid. They don't want to deal with people on the streets. They're afraid of people on the streets. And so they have the peculiar mindset of a person who has this particular disability, is the phone ringing?
Yes. Answer the phone.
Well, Free Radio Santa Cruz greets you. You're on the air.
Hi, Robert. This is Kim.
Hi, Kim. What's up?
Don't allow any...